Continue our study of Pachad Yitzchak for Pesach with Maimar Nun Gimel. And we begin with a pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, Vayikra Yud Gimel, Kemaise Eretz Mitzrayim Esha Yishavtim Ba, Lo Sasu, Ukemaise Eretz Kanaan Asher Ani Mevias Oschem Shoma Lo Sasu. This is the introduction to the Parash of Arayas. And if you notice carefully, in this introduction, the Torah warns us from copying Mitzrayim and from copying Eretz Canaan. In the conclusion of this introduction, the Torah says, "V'losaki ha'aretz eschem kasher ka'a es hagoya shalifneichem." Notice that in the Siyum, in the conclusion, in the punishment, it will be that the earth, that the land, will vomit you forth. In the psicha, in the introduction, in the resha, shall we say, of the introduction, we have both, the Torah mentions both Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan. Eretz Mitzrayim, the place where we were exiled and subjugated, and Eretz Canaan, after the redemption from Mitzrayim, when we entered into the land of the seven nations and we conquered that land. In the punishment, the Torah drops Eretz Mitzrayim, no mention, and all the Torah mentions here is the onesh of Eretz Canaan, meaning the flip side of Eretz Canaan, that we will be banished, will be exiled from the land. But no mention of Mitzrayim. And yet, in truth, when we were exiled, two things happened. We were, of course, sent into Golus from Eretz Yisrael, but on top of that, we were subjugated by the nations of the world, by the Arba Malchios, by the four kingships. So it's very strange that in the first part of the pasuk, when we talk about the geula is a twofold geula. Number one, it takes us out of the subjugation of Mitzrayim. Number two, we inherit the land of Canaan. However, the punishment which we would have expected, the Torah would spell out the flip side of both dimensions. We'd be exiled from the land, and that would correspond to Eretz Canaan. And we'd be subjugated by the nations of the world in Golus, that would correspond to Eretz Mitzrayim. And it's very strange that the Torah completely omits in the punishment Eretz Mitzrayim and the subjugation and the slavery amongst the nations of the world. That we don't find. All we do find is the exile from the land. And, of course, in fact, the violation of these prohibitions that are mentioned here in Vayikra Yud Ches is going to precipitate a double punishment. We're going to lose, forfeit the land, and we're going to be sent into Golus and be subjugated and enslaved by the nations of the world. This happened after the first Golus and after the second Golus as well. So the fact that the Torah completely omits the punishment of subjugation and only mentions the punishment of the loss of the land, we derive from this a conclusion that there's a fundamental difference between what the Pachad Yitzchak calls the Hishavus HaDvarim and what he calls the opposite thereof. This Havus HaDvarim, meaning when we have Geula, it's a twofold Geula. First, to be freed from slavery, and secondly, to have our own land, to enter into the land. And the chiddush here, the Pachad Yitzchak, is the following. That after we enter into the land, and the geula reaches that apex, that second stage, now there's no room for a middle stage. In the flip side, when we go into Golus, and when we undermine the geula, here there's only one stage, and that is the vomiting forth of the people from the land, the exile from the land, included therein is the fact that we return to a classical Golus situation similar to Mitzrayim, where we are subjugated. The Torah doesn't have to spell that out because it's included. It's inherent. It's, you know, like Yesh B'chal Masayim Mana. So again, even though there is a middle stage between Shibud Mitzrayim and, of course, the freedom thereof, and Bia La'aretz, conquering the land, there is a stage in the middle. Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, and for 40 years they travel through the desert, although they're not Meshubad, but nevertheless they haven't yet entered into the land. But yet there is no similar middle of the road situation or a middle of the road in the process that in the undoing of the Hisavus, in the Golus, there is no this middle stage. Golus means two things that are one, that are inseparable. Leaving or being exiled from the land and being subjugated in Golus by the nations of the world. Once we lose the land of Israel, included in that loss is the return to the situation of Shibud to alien nations. When we enter into the land from the Midbar, that's one thing. There's that Midbar stage which is in between Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan. But when we get to the vomiting forth of the people from the land, then the land doesn't vomit us forth to a Midbar, to a state of freedom but exile from the land, but rather we get vomited into the lands of the nations of the world where we'll be second-class citizens, and even worse, we'll be taken as slaves. And that justifies the difference here in the language between the introduction to the Arayos and its conclusion. In the introduction of Arayos, the Pasuk mentions both Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan, because there is a two-stage process in the creation of Geula. However, with regard to the punishment and the Golus, there's no two-stage process. It's really one and the same. We get vomited forth from the land and sent into subjugation, into Golus, in the nations, amongst the lands of the nations of the world. So the punishment of the land will vomit you forth relates not only to the last part of the psicha, namely Ha'aretz Asher Yashavtem Ba, but it also, meaning Eretz Canaan, but it also relates to K'maisa Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Sasu. In other words, it's not just a punishment on the Eretz Canaan dimension, it's also a punishment on the Mitzrayim dimension. As we said before, there's no middle of the road in the punishment here, in the exile. It's a projectile, so to speak, in which we get rejected from the land and thrown and thrust into the nations of the world. The Pachad Yitzchak gives a paradigm. He says, for example, in marriage, to create issues, there's a two-stage process. We start with Erusin and then we get to Nisuin. Erusin is stage one, in which she, the Arusa, leaves the Rishus of, one second, let me say it a little bit better than that. She hasn't yet left the Rishus of her father. She has begun the process of entering into the Rishus of her husband, but she's not yet in a Sua. She's in that middle stage in which the marriage has begun, the Ishus has been kicked off. She cannot marry anyone else, but yet she still remains in Beis Avia. Only with Nisu in the second stage does she enter into Beis Baila. So until the Nisuin, she's an Arusa. And finally she enters into the house of her husband. In between, she's sort of in limbo. However, when we get to Gerushin, or for that matter, Mises Abal, which means Hafkasa Ishus, then it's not that she loses her Madrega as a Nisua and falls back into the Madrega as an Arusa, as she was before she entered into the Beis Baal. No, that's not what happens here. There is no middle stage of Arusa. The Gerushin now completely undermines both stages, both Erusin and Nisuin as one. There is no middle stage. We go back all the way to zero, and she's a complete Pnuya, unmarried woman. So in this Avus, in the creation of marriage, there was a two-stage process, and following the first before the second, she was in a middle stage of Arusin, which would parallel the Bamidbar state of Klal Yisrael before they entered into the land. But when we're Mevatel Nisuin, the Bitla Nisuin includes within it both the Bitla Nisuin and the Bitla Arusin. There's no possibility of ending up somewhere in the middle. And therefore, getting back to Arayos, within the context of the introduction to Arayos, we have this two-stage process of Mitzrayim and Eretz HaAmimim. We go out of Mitzrayim. We're not yet into the Eretz Zayin Amim, the Canaan. But when that's what we call Yitzia Min HaGolus. But when we talk about his Havus, I'm sorry, that's talking about this Havus of the Kinyan Aretz. But when we talk about Golus, after the Kinyan Aretz was clinched, now Yitziah, the divorce, so to speak, is a total, complete divorce, uprooting us not only from the land, but also sending us into exile amongst the nations of the world. There's no possibility of separating the Golus into two and saying that, well, part of the Gula still remains. At least we're not subjugated in the lands of the nations of the world. No. Once the Madrega, the experience of entering into the land and inheriting the land, is completely null and void, then that nullifies even the first level of Geula, meaning the Geula from the lands of the people, in this case from Mitzrayim, and we're back to total Golus in a complete sense, A plus B, losing the land, and being subjugated and thrust into the lands of the other nations. And the Parsha of Arayos begins with a double warning about Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan. We have to separate ourselves and not learn from the immorality of Mitzrayim, the immorality of the land, of the seven nations that occupy the land. However, if we violate this prohibition, if we fall prey to the powers, the energies of the Eitz HaHar, etc., the punishment will be one punishment. It'll be Akas HaAretz, and that'll be a total, total Golus in all its dimensions, even though, again, in this Havus, it was Chalkit, it was two stages. There was Yitzhiya Min HaGolus, there was Knesa Eretz Yisrael, but once the Kinyan of the Aretz is complete, then at the next stage of punishment, when our acquisition of the land is completely uprooted and undermined, that's called Hakas Aretz, then included within that is the negation of Yitzhiya Min HaGolus. We're back into Golus, we're back living under the control and the dominion of the other nations. And that's why in the warning at the beginning of the parasha, when the Torah is interested in the source of sin, it gives us a double-barreled introduction. The source of sin is Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan as well, the influences of those two. Because when we talk about the Hishavus, we have to talk about both elements. When we get to the Onesh, on the other hand, there's no duality here. When we get to the time of punishment, then it's all one and the same. It's both Hakam Min HaAretz and Chazara El HaGolus. Now there's a principle that the Pachad Yitzchak attributes to Kedoshei Elyon. He doesn't tell you exactly who they are. And that tradition is to establish a principle that all of the words of the Torah are relevant in all generations, at all times, both for the community and for the individual. Every single nefesh, every single individual person in Israel, as such, is going to learn from Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah for everyone and for every individual. And the principle of Ein Bechlal Ela Masha Befrat, which means that whatever you learn that applies to the klal, to the community, or to the tzibur, applies to each individual, and anything that applies, therefore, to the sanctity of Knesset Yisrael as an indivisible collective body applies as well in a parallel sort of way to the avoda of every individual in his private life. And that's what becomes clear, that when we talk about Hakas Ha'aretz, that the collective entity of Klal Yisrael will be vomited forth from the land, and that punishment will bring us back to the Madrega of Mitzrayim, of Golus, that process, which again will apply to Knesset Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, in its collective sanctity, will have a corresponding process that will apply to each individual, Nefesh, Yochid, every Prat in Klal Yisrael, will have a parallel kind of experience of Hakah Min Haaretz. And we can explain that by studying the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there speaks about prisha miminus. It means that a person has to avoid any sort of heresy and denial, chas v'shalom, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's something else which is called prisha misharaveros. A person has to, of course, overcome temptation with regard to all averos. However, with regard to minus, or otherwise known in the Mishnayos as apikursus, which means heresy, we have a principle that's derived from a pasuk in Mishlei. And that principle is, Dechol b'iya lo yashuvun v'lo yasigu orchos chayim, which means, as Rashi explains it, that anyone who does tshuva and leaves minus behind, he's going to die. The process of tshuva is going to end in his separating from life. That's what it says here. Lo yasigu orchos chayim life. Rashi says, im shavim, if they do tshuva, bimarin lomus, it speeds up the process of death, because in the process of overcoming the yetzer, these individuals who are in the minus category, which what I mean by that is in the heresy category, they have to fight off their Yetzahara for minus in such a difficult way. The battle is so difficult, it takes its toll. And therefore, as part of that process, they will die and the Misa itself will clinch their Kapara. The Gemara then raises a question from Eliezer ben Derdaya. He was a person who was completely sold, completely addicted to sexual immorality, to sexual temptation. The Gemara doesn't wince about telling us about this individual. There wasn't a zone in the world that he didn't have relations with. And at the end of his life, he did tshuva, and he put his head between his knees, and he cried until he died. And the Gemara uses Elazar ben Derdaya as the basis for its objection. How can you tell me that only in minus tshuva will bring you to death? You see that even in other averos, for example, arayas, tshuva, the tshuva process means that to overcome your yetzahara, you'll have to bring yourself to the brink of death. And the Gemara answers that Elazar ben Derdaya is a special category. It's not your classical shara averus temptation, one-time temptation, you fall prey to sin. You could do tshuva and stand on two healthy feet, but here, it's aduk bo tuva, and therefore keminus damya. He is so addicted, so taken by the clutches of the Yetzirah, it's aduk bo tuva, And it's like the situation of Minus, to overcome, to free himself through tshuva of the clutches of the Eitz Hara, he's going to die eventually. It's going to weaken him to the point of death. And the Pachad Yitzchak wants to understand what this is all about. The pasuk in Mishlei that leads us to this strange conclusion that in the battle against the Eitz Hara, there's death. That's referring to Minus. And Minus is a separate category. For example, with regard to other Averis, we have something called a Mumar L'Teyavot. And even though he is given to the Yetzer, the temptation which overcomes him, and he succumbs to the Yetzer, nevertheless, he doesn't have the status of a Min. He's a Mumar L'Teyavot. A Min is, it doesn't matter whether he's L'Teyavot or not L'Teyavot, he's a Min. How does a person who is caught in the clutches of Teyavon, who is Adik Beituva, like in the case of Elazar ben Derdaya, to what extent is he comparable to a Min? There's a totally different set of circumstances and totally different categories, even in Halacha. And the answer is that we're not saying that someone who's Adik Beituva and cannot overcome he cannot free himself from the clutches of the Yetzer Hara and temptation, he is a Min. That's not what we're saying. When we're saying that Kaminus Dami, again, what's the language of the Gemara? Let's see it again. Kaminus Damya, it means that there's a certain intersect, a certain level or nakuda, a certain point of intersect, of overlap. And what is that? With regard to the pasuk in Mishlei that brings you to the brink of death, here Adik Beituva is Kaminus Damya. Again, as far as the real din of Min, you know, the real, shall we say, the real McCoy, genuine Min, obviously there's a fundamental difference between Minus and all the other Averis in the Torah. But with regard to this principle that we derive from the pasuk in Mishlei, of losing Orchas Chaim, lo yasigu Orchas Chaim, here we have an overlap. We have something in the other Averos which pushes you into the category of a Min as far as this halacha of death is concerned. And that's someone who's Adik Bavera Tuva. He's not a Min, but nevertheless, he has one dimension of Minus, and that is this dimension of Lo Yeshuvun, that is tshuva. If he succeeds in energizing himself for tshuva, it's going to bring him to the brink of death. And here's where there's an overlap, and someone who is Adik Beituva has this dimension, this element of Minus, as far as being close to death. And we'd like to understand what this is all about. That's in addition to our discussion earlier about how the principle of punishment and golus, which is a twofold punishment, how that relates to each yachid. And here we're going to quote a maimar that we've already seen in the past, Maimar Zion, that with regard to a kofar, someone who denies God, his mitzvos are totally meaningless. If, let's say, he accidentally does a mitzvah, that's called misasek. Misasek is a mitzvah you do inadvertently. You know, you roll over and you do it by accident. And we learned from the Ramban in his Hakdama to Pirush Iyov, which recently was published, that in general, the case of a min is different than every other sinner. A min, or minus, is equivalent to prikas ol. Prikas ol means he takes himself completely out of the mitzvahs. He rejects the whole responsibility, the commitment to mitzvahs. Whereas with regard to other averos, he's committed to observe the law, but he falls prey and trips and falls to the Yetzer Hara. And this comes back to our discussion about the two dimensions of minus. What's unique about minus and what a real, real min is through and through, a genuine min with the status of a min, is that he is on a level of, he reflects the prikas ol ashibud. He rejects the obligation, the commitment to all the mitzvahs. And he ends up in a situation in which there is no possibility of him serving Hashem and being mekayim the mitzvahs. There's a negation of all his avoda, as we said before, becomes like misasek. And when we talk about the two dimensions of minus, and compare that to kol tarkul, to other averos, we can speak about minus number one as prikas ol, and all other mumrim who are enticed by teyavim, by desire and temptation, would not come under that dimension of minus of prikas ol, even if they're odik beituva. So even an elazar ben derdaya who's totally, shall I say, overcome by the temptation of the Yetzirah, in this case for Znus, nevertheless, despite that he's Adik Bei Tuva, he's not a min. He's a Mumal Teyamon, but he's not a min. He hasn't been Porek Ol. But there is another dimension of Minus, as we discussed earlier, and that is the process of Tshuva here. With regard to minus, the concept of minus is a much broader one. It means the impossibility of doing avoda. And in the case of someone who's odik beituva, he is like a min. Again, there's no prikas ol, but how is he going to do avoda? How is he going to be an upstanding citizen? What I mean, how is he going to be someone who conforms to the law? He's just sold totally to the Yetzer Hara. Because of his adikus to the Yetzer Hara, because he's so used to Avera, he cannot be poresh from the Avera. His Yetzer Hara is kofe, is totally in control of him, it dominates him. And the only way of breaking free of the clutches of that dominating Yetzirah that doesn't allow him the ability to serve Hashem is by paying with his life. The Kfiyas Yetzer, Mitoch Kfiyas Yetzer, Yechle, Oshiyala Beliba Tina Vechadome. He describes, there's a phrase in Chazal of Hela Liba Tina, which means just psychologically it's a total addiction. Just like we have addiction to drugs, we can have addiction to passions. And the Yetzer Hara has completely dominated him. He's pashut sick. He's a sick man. And the pasuk says, Kamesim Chafshi. That's Bimesim Chafshi, I should say, Atilim Peivav. And the Chazal derive from this pasuk in Shabbos Daf Lamed, Kevan Shemes Adam Nasa Chafshi, Min a mitzvahs, meaning the only way that he can become a chafshi min a mitzvahs is through death. I mean, in other words, the only way he can survive the situation, because he cannot deal with the ol of mitzvos. He cannot face the temptation, fight the battle, and successfully be mekayim the mitzvahs because he's so used to the averus, is just to terminate his life. In other words, for him, and we're talking about someone like Elazar ben Derdaya, that his yetzer is dominating him, and he's aduk beituva, his prisha, his desisting from sin and freeing himself from the clutches of sin, it entails and can only be made possible if he completely removes the possibility of avoda. So what do we mean? He says, Mitzad zeheinu donim matzav zeh lematzav shel ninus. Just like in the case of minus, it is impossible for this person to do the avoda, and even if he does mitzvahs, as we said before, they're not called the avoda. So too in the case of the aduk, who's Adik Bavera, he's up to the point of Tina Belev, he's just sick, and he doesn't have the emotional or spiritual ability or energy to overcome his Yetzirah. It's as if he has no possibility of serving Hashem. That's been taken away from him. The avoda, the obligation to be an Oved Hashem, which obligates him to be Parish Menachet, this Prisha Menachet will only be possible if he removes himself from avoda completely, which means to be Chavshi Min HaMitzvahs. Through his Kfiyas HaYetzer, he's going crazy, and he has only two choices. Either he continues to be in this sick state, sick in a negative sense, that he's hella libatino, he's totally, totally sold to the Yetzer, or he's going to have to die because he doesn't have the ability to implement the avoda. In a sense, both a shota and a mace, both have in common, they're not b'nei avoda, they don't have capacity to do avoda. The shota because he's sick, and the mace because he's chavshi min ha-mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara means in Avodah Zarah. The Adik Bei Tuva is Kaminus Damya. It means that just like in the case of Minus, he's prevented from doing Avodah because of his sin, so too, someone who's Adik Bei Minus is prevented from doing Avodah. He's like a Shota, he has no control over himself. The only way he can get out of this Matzav is to be Parish Menachet. So in a certain sense, the Adik Bei Tuva is like a Porek Ol, even though he's not a Porek Ol, as we discussed before, he's not really a Min, but he has something greatly in common with the Min, in that he has no ability to fulfill the Ol. And with regard to this last possibility, this last dimension of Minus, who has no possibility, he's prevented from doing the Avodah, and in that context we said he overlaps, intersects with the person who's Kafui to the Yetzer, who's Adik Bei Tuva, no possibility of doing the Avodah. However, the first dimension of Minus, which means Prikas Ol Shimud, meaning he's not willing to accept upon himself the obligation to do mitzvahs, if a person is Aduk Bavera Tuva, he says, Kol She'eino Ela Machmas Taiva, if the reason why he's sold to the Eitzahara is because of the intense passion, that's called a Michshol. That's a pitfall. He's like a Mumel Teyavon, but he's not defined as a Min. He doesn't have Torah's Minus. And the Pachad Yitzchak wants to give us a vision of this, sort of like a metaphor. Imagine a person who has on him a harness, he's over his shoulder, that he's carrying a threshing plow, and he's trying to plow his land. So let's say, we'll give two scenarios, scenario A and scenario B. In scenario A, what happens is, why doesn't he plow his field? And he says the following. If this Choresh, this individual who's meant to plow the field, decides, you know what, I'm not going to move from the spot, I'm going to refuse to carry this weight on my shoulder, this yoke, and the Choresh is not going to happen. And if he goes a step further, he completely throws the yoke, casts it off his shoulders. And for sure, no Choresh is going to happen. And in the first case, he has the yoke on his shoulders, but he doesn't have the power to move forward with it. He doesn't have the energy. That's the second scenario. In the first scenario, he chucks off the yoke from his shoulders. It's not that he doesn't have the ability to be Choresh, but there is no Choresh at all. The language here is the following. The Ofen HaRishon, the first case, Ein kan chisaron hechsher charisha, el chisaron charisha. It's not just that he's lacking in the ability to move forward and do the charish and carry the yoke. He has already cast the yoke off his shoulders. There's no charisha possible. It's totally non-existent. In the Nimshal, we have two situations of Avodas Hashem. The first case is an Avera. The man has Avera, he's like the case of a person who has the yoke on his shoulder, he just can't move forward, he doesn't have the energy. If a person is a Baal Avera, he's in a Mumer L'Teyavon, he is Odik Beituva, he can't move forward and do the Avoda. The second category, where he chucks the yoke off his shoulder, that's Minus in the real classical Minus. He is a Porek Ol. The avoda is completely impossible because he has no yoke. He's not holding on to the machresha. In the first case, we call it chisaron avoda. Chisaron avoda means that there's no ability, no energy to move forward and do the avoda. There are too many barriers to overcome. In the second category, we're talking about the impossibility of doing the avoda. And we're talking about a case of prikas ol. That's real minus. And the difference between the two can be illustrated by what we call a middle ground. In Hebrew, it's called a dargas beinayim. Let's say, for example, the reason why he's not achieving the threshing and the plowing, the harisha of his field, is because the instrument that he's using, the plow itself, is full of rust. So even though he's carrying the yoke that's attached to the plow on his shoulders, nevertheless, there is a chisaron hechsher charisha. There is no possibility of charisha. In a certain sense, it's similar to the case of someone who has cast off his shoulders the machresha. Here he's holding on to the machresha. In that sense, He's lacking the energy to move forward, but on the other hand, the machresha itself is so damaged that it's almost as if he doesn't have the machresha on his shoulders at all. So it's not an actual prikas ol, but it's very similar to a prikas ol. In the case of a prikas ol, there's no hechsher avoda, meaning there's no possibility whatsoever of avoda. In the other case, there's no avoda befal because he's not able to move forward. The yoke is too heavy on his shoulders. The case of Odik Bei Tuva is like this middle stage. He's a min, but he's not a min. He's a min to the extent that he doesn't have the energy to move forward. He has a hechsher avoda. He's not casting off his shoulders by rebelling against God and saying, I reject all of God's commands and his ability to command me. You know, I'm included in the commands. I just don't have the possibility. I'm too weak and too ill to face the challenges and implement the avoda. That's like a defective machresha, which is this middle stage. So he's not a full-fledged min, as we said. He does accept the commitment to mitzvahs, but on the other hand, he can't move forward. He can't move forward. He doesn't have the possibility, the energy for us to do so. He's too weak. He is Odik Beituva. In that sense, he's like a min. And in order to overcome the temptations, he's going to have to come to a near-death situation like Elazar ben Dodaya to battle against this Yetzirah that has completely overcome him, is so, so stiff and so harsh that he'll have to forfeit his life. And here, the Pachad Yitzchak wants to get back to our discussion about Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan, and the sage way to do so is going to be a different mimer that we've discussed in the past. And we had it also in the Pachad Yitzchak for Purim. And that is the concept of Reishis. And we utilize the tool that we've discussed many times of Zelu Mazeh. There's a rachis of Kedusha. There's a rachis on the opposite of Tumah. The rachis of Kedusha is that Klal Yisrael are considered rachis. And this is discussed in Maimar Chaf here in the Pachet Yitzchak for Pesach. And that is the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasa. Klal Yisrael is compared to Reishis, the beginning of the grains that mature on the fields. And there is a direct relationship between Klal Yisrael as Reishis of Kedusha and Makas Bechoros. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, the first encounter at the Sneh, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'ni Bechori Yisrael, and now I'm sending you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to destroy the firstborn of Mitzrayim, and go and tell Paro that my children are my Bechor, and your Bechor, Paro, will be completely destroyed. And here we have a Zelu Umazeh. We have the Reishis or the Bechor that's called Klal Yisrael Mitzad Kedusha. And we have the parallel corresponding Zelu Umazeh, Reishis of Tumah, which is Mitzrayim. And the Makah of Bechoros is the Makah to destroy the Reishis of Mitzrayim. And in as a sort of, you know, seesaw, when the Reishis of Mitzrayim is destroyed, the Reishis of Kedusha, the Reishis of Knesset Yisrael, as B'nai Bechor Yisrael emerges. And this is what it means in Tehillim, Vayach kol Bechor Mitzrayim, Reishis Onim bi'olei Cham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the Bechor of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is called Reishis. And that's a pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Ches. And although the word Reishis appears in the context of Mitzrayim, there's another Reishis, and that is the Reishis of Amalek. So on the Tumah side, we have a double Reishis. We have a Reishis of Mitzrayim and a Reishis of Amalek. What is the difference between the two? Why are there two categories of Reishis? And the answer is because in the fight, in the battle of the nations of the world, as they rise up against Klal Yisrael, against Kedusha, there are two different categories of Hisnagdus. The Hisnagdus of the Umas Olam to Yisrael is set up on two foundations, in two battles, two systems. Number one, it's what we call the Arba Malchios. And number two, we have the Shivas Ha'amimim. And there's a fundamental difference between the two. And each one has its parallel ratios. With regard to the Dalid Malchios, well, let's start with the... Yeah, we'll start with the Dalid Malchios, excuse me. With regard to the Dalid Malchios, what we have is the blocking of Klal Yisrael from becoming Avodim Lashem. In other words, the very shame Eved is intolerable to the Arba Malchus. That's what they're going to battle. The shame Eved that defines the essence and the nature of the Jewish people. And with regard to the whole system of Arba Malchus and what they're trying to accomplish, their racious is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim will not allow us to accept upon ourselves to emerge as Ovdei Hashem. The Avdus Hashem, the Shem Eved in Klal Yisrael cannot come into being. Mitzrayim is going to block that. Mitzrayim is going to subjugate the Jewish people and declare, you are my slaves, you cannot be slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Reishis of Amalek belongs to the Shivas Amamim. The Shivas Amamim say, you know what? You are Ovdei Hashem, Bietzem, but we're not going to allow you to find the place and facilitate the ability to take your avdus and let it come to fruition. We're going to block you and reject you from the land where you were meant to implement your status as Ovdei Hashem with avdus before. Status of the Jewish people in Kedusha is a twofold status, represented by two corresponding major historical events in the history of Klal Yisrael. One is Yitzias Mitzrayim, where instead of Avodeihem, instead of Avodim LaAvodim, we become Avodeihem. We emerge from Mitzrayim with the redemption from freedom as Avdei Hashem. And the second is Matan Torah, where the Avdus becomes real. It takes on a content. You can be an Eved, but you have to know what the Melech, what the King wants from you as an Eved. That's going to be revealed and established at Maimon Har Sinai. Now, in order to take the Tariag Mitzvahs and implement them, we need Eretz Yisrael. The Zion Amimun are going to block us from Eretz Yisrael. They say, you know, we're not going to let you implement your Avdus. And the Rashis of the Zion Amimun is Amalek. Amalek comes to attack the Jewish people before they reach Har Sinai, before they receive the Torah. Amalek is going to say, we're going to block you, we're going to prevent you from receiving the Torah. Whereas Mitzrayim is the Rashis of the Dalet Malchus, because Mitzrayim is the first nation to subjugate the Jewish people, even before they emerge as Avdei Hashem. We, Mitzrayim, are going to prevent you, the Jewish people, from becoming Avdei Hashem. The very emergence and status of the Jewish people as Avdei Hashem, we are going to prevent that. We're going to be ochre at Misharsho before it gets off the ground. We're going to uproot it. The Eved, in order to fulfill the will of his father, of his master, needs two things. Number one, he has to become an Eved, which means the Adon, the master, has to make a kinyan on him. And number two, he's got to wait for the Adon, for the master, to reveal his Ratzon. And through that revelation of his Ratzon, what does the Adon want from the Eved? Now the Eved is ready to take his shame Eved, his status as an Eved, and implement it by fulfilling the will of the master. Geulas Mitzrayim is the moment, that transition is the moment that the status of Avdei Hashem for the Jewish people, the Shibud, to the Ritzon Shel Makom, emerges. We are no longer Avdei Paro, we are Avdei Hashem, but it's only in Matan Torah that Klal Yisrael know exactly how to serve Hashem, to take that abstract shame, Avdus, and convert it into a hardcore, real, concrete reality, and serve the Master. The Master has to now reveal his will, his desire to the Eved, and that's what happens at Maimon Har Sinai. Once Hashem, as the Master, reveals his will through the Tariq Mitzvahs Har Sinai, now the Jewish people are ready to enter into the land of Israel, to the Makom Avoda, to the place where they can in fact implement the will of God in all ways and fulfill the mitzvot that were given at Har Sinai. And here we have in the Hasnagdus to Klal Yisrael, we've got the Arba Malchios, who are trying to block the essence of the Jewish people as Avdei Hashem. What is the Arba Malchios? Their goal is to be Meshabed Klal Yisrael, to work with them, to enslave them. And therefore, if the Jewish people are kafus, if they are tied up and bound in slavery, obviously the name of Avdei Hashem is completely irrelevant. And that's what the Dalet Malchus have as their goal. You are not Avdei Hashem, you are my Avodim, and not Avdei Hashem. The paradigm of redemption, therefore, in the context of the Chalos, Hisavus, Avdei Hashem, is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Avodeihem v'lo avodim l'avodim. The Arba Malchios, insofar as they want to be Meshaveh Klal Yisrael, enslave them, and make them avodim to avodim, and completely liquidate and undermine the essence of the Jewish people as Avdei Hashem. The Shiva Avamin is a whole different Esnagdus. There they weren't interested in being Meshaveh Klal Yisrael, that wasn't on their agenda. They would allow Klal Yisrael to go to any land and be free people, but don't step into the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Makom Avoda. Don't come into the land and serve and implement the service to Hashem in order to fulfill His will. Again, they have no objection to the Etzem, His Havus, Toar, Shem, Avdei Hashem, which is the essence of the Jewish people, but rather to block the implementation of the Avdus Hashem before Mamish. And there we understand the difference between Mitzrayim as Reishis, insofar as Mitzrayim is the Reishis of the Arba Malchios. Mitzrayim is the one that wants to be Meshabed Klal Yisrael and say, you are my slaves, you cannot have the shame of the Hashem. And Amalek is the Reishis as far as the Hisnagdus of the Shiva Amamin. And Amalek is going to block them from implementing the will of God. In this case, from preventing them from reaching Matan Torah to even know what the will of God is. That's the Hisnagdus, the Reishis of Hisnagdus, Liavoda Befoel of Klal Yisrael. And that explains the difference between the words Malchios and Amamim. Malchios means the sovereign rulership of a kingship, of a kingdom. And that's exactly what the Dalet Malchi is trying to do. They want sovereignty and dominion over Klal Yisrael to prevent Klal Yisrael from becoming Avdei Hashem. And then we have the Amamin, the nations. The word Amamin is not Malchios. They're not trying to subjugate the Jewish people. They just say, you know what? We are the people that occupy this land, and you will not have any ability, Klal Yisrael, to occupy the land. And when we talk about Kedusha, and we talk about Klal Yisrael in the antithetical sense of Tumah, meaning Klal Yisrael as Kedusha, as Bechori Yisrael, then there's a double experience, what we call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim and Kabbalas Gzeirosai. First is Kabbalas Malchusai. This is the famous statement of the Mechilta, with the mashal that the Mechilta gives of the king coming in, and the people say, we want to fulfill your will, and the king says, first be Makabal my Malchus, and then you can be Makabal my Gzeros. And that's what we have in Kriyat Shema. We have a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and then we have a Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. It's a twofold Kabbalah. The first Kabbalah is geared towards becoming Avdei Hashem. That's called Kabbalas Malchusai. We are your Avodim, you are our king. And then finally, Kabbalas Gzerosai, which means now give us and reveal to us the substance of your will, how we can actually implement the Avdus Befoal. When Chazal speak about Amalek, they describe Amalek as Yodea Esribono Umechaven Limrod Bo. The Merida, that's Amalek. Merida means, okay, we are servants, we are subjugated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Melech Malchi Amlochim, the King of Kings, but we want to rebel against you. We don't want your Gzeros. We're going to rebel against your Gzeros. The Malchus, that's something else. With regard to Paro, however, Paro declares, Lo Yadati Es Hashem. That's the Reishis of Paro. We don't know Hashem. There's no Avdus to Hashem. We don't accept you as our king. And you, the Jewish people, will not accept God. There's no Kabbalas Malchus, because we are the Melech. Lo Yadati Es Hashem. You will not recognize the Adon, because your Adon is Mitzrayim. Amalek says, you know what? We're going to come after Gulas Mitzrayim. You already have, the people of Israel already have accepted upon themselves the Avdus Hashem, Avodihem V'lo Avodim L'Avodim, but nevertheless, we're going to block you from the Avoda Befoal. That's Yodeas Ribonim El Shuhu Mechavein Limrod Bo. Yitzias Mitzrayim, therefore, clinches for all times the victory. It guarantees in stone the victory of Klal Yisrael in its battle against the Arba Malchios. And later on, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, they're going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and that's going to represent for all generations, for all future times, the victory of Klal Yisrael in its battle against the Shiva Amamin. And if that be the case, let's go back to discuss Hakoas Haaretz. We, the people of Israel, Chas V'Sholem, in a punishment, will be vomited forth from the land. And, L'chora, at the face of it, we could be vomited forth from the land, and that means that the Shiva Amamin who are trying to defeat us by blocking us from the land, they in turn will successfully, you know, their Hisnagdus will reach its fruition in a successful sense when we're punished by Akas Haaretz. And there's reason to believe, but it would be mistaken on our part, to say that that has no relationship to the Hisnagdus, to the other system of battle, the battle against the Abram Malchus. Okay, there's Hakas Haaretz, we will be exiled from the land, we'll lose a Makom Avodah, but nevertheless we still have the Shem Tohar, we still have that essential definition of Klal Yisrael's Avdei Hashem. And that and there is a precedent for that. It would reflect and parallel the Tkufas Midbar when Klal Yisrael were already after the defeat of Paro Avdei Hashem Avodehem. So this Havus Shem Avdei Hashem has already been clinched, and they're in the Midbar. They haven't yet come to the place of Avodah Befal. They haven't yet into the land. And this parsha in Vayikra that we started with, the parsha of Arayos, tells us a chiddush. And that is that Akas Haaretz is not just simply a limited loss, a loss of the Makom Avodah, so that we won't be able to implement the will of God, but it undermines even the very name and the very essence of our nation as Avdei Hashem. There is no middle ground. With regard to the punishment, there's no wilderness territory or twilight zone, because the depths of Hakas Haaretz, inherent in being vomited from the land, is not simply that we'll be exiled from the land, but what it really means is that by being vomited from the land, we are going to be projected into a situation of Avodim LaAvodim. We are going to be subject to the dominion of the four kingships, the Dalit Malchios. That's what Golus is all about. That's what it means, Hakas Haaretz. This is what the Pagan Yitzchak calls Miut Admus Shel Torah Avdei Hashem. That's a borrowed phrase which he's applying here, Miut Admus. It means that even though primarily, fundamentally, Hakam in Aretz, in the physical sense, means to take us out of the land and reject us by vomiting us outside the bounds of the land, but no, what's included under Akas Haaretz is not just Hotzah Min Haaretz, it's not just leaving the land and being exiled therein, but also Achnasa Tachas Ola Goyim, we become subject to the yoke of the nations, we become Avodim LaAvodim, because this Nagdus of the Amamin really somehow connects, it's like arm in arm with his Snagdus of the Malchus. So the Amamin send us, they project us, they thrust us into the hands of the Malchios. And if we are defeated by the Zion Umos, then we fall prey into the clutches of the Alba Malchios. Even though in the battle against the Shiva Amamin, that battle was limited to the Makom Avodah Befal, as we said before, just have a place where the Avodim can implement the Avdus Befal. Nevertheless, Ein lehem la'amim alol shum esek im etzim atosh avdi Hashem mikol makom kachu malach hadvar mikeven shem Makom Avodah Befal shekol yiskanes yol yeshivas oretz v'meila kol shahachet gorim listalkus listalik me'afsharis Avodah Befal hare yotzi mechlal chet v'nichal Bechlal Prikas Ol. Here's where we swing back to the various categories that we discussed before regarding Minus. The classical fundamental definition of a Min is Prikas Ol, but there's another overlap, intersect of a Min, a tributary of a Min who has the dimension of a Min. That's the Odik Baveretuva, is Kaminos Dami, the Gemara Navodazor. It means that he too, for all intents and purposes, is a Porik Ol. If he doesn't have the energy to move forward, okay, that's a mumul teyavon. But if the system itself is so out of whack, if the machresha itself is so defective, then for all intents and purposes, it's equal to casting and chucking the all off the shoulder. There's no possibility of Charesha. There's no Hechsher Charesha. Here too, when Klal Yisrael are rejected from Eretz Yisrael, that's so profound that in effect, what it does is, befall, it undermines the Torah of Avdei Hashem. It's not just that the Zion Amim has succeeded in thrusting us, vomiting us forth, and we're in exile. It's more than that. If we don't have the Avodah Befa'al, then for all intents and purposes, our sins have caused us to lose the possibility of Avodah. And basically what we have here, is what it constitutes and equals, is Prikas Ol. It's called the Oduk Bavera Tuva Damya, Kintuva Kaminas Damya. And the level of Adikus Tavera, which we saw in the paradigm of Elazar ben Dudaya, is where the sin becomes so rooted, to the point is it's so deeply rooted in our souls that never we have no possibility of Avodah Befa'al. And this can impact not only on the community as a tzibur, as a collective entity, but also on each individual befrat. If he himself is adik ba'avera, he basically transforms himself into a porek ol. Taiva becomes his overwhelming, controlling, dominating force. And just like with regard to Knesset Yisrael as an entity, as a collective entity, if the avera becomes so rooted in the essence of the klal, to the point in which the punishment of Ibud Yeshivas Aretz means that we are vomited forth from the land, then at that point, the Shiva Amamin and then Nitzachon is upgraded to the Nitzachon of the Arba Malchius. We are totally lost and subjugated. We lose, we forfeit our very shame. Ayaved, that's the absolute Prikas Ol in the life of the individual, in a corresponding mirror image. The same thing could happen, Nebuch, if the Yochid, as a Prat, is so Aduk Bavera, he basically reaches the level in which his Taiva overwhelms him, overcomes him. He is a Porek Ol. He has no possibility of moving forward to Machresha. It's as if the Machresha is on the ground. Not only is he cut off from the Avodah Befa'al, he's a Porek Ol, his shame Eved is completely lost, Nebuch. And therefore we come back to what we said at the beginning, based on the Chachmei HaEmes, who taught us that everything in the Torah is the Kadosh Elyon, everything that's taught us in the Torah is relevant to all generations, all times, and for every individual, not just for the collective entity. The depths of this message of Hakas Haaretz is that at some point the individual loses his grasp, his hold on Avdus Hashem, being an Eved Hashem, just as that can happen when the klal of Knesset Yisrael suffers Hakar Min Haaretz and is rejected from the land, and they're basically being subjugated to the nations, the world, in which they are compelled to be avodim la'avodim, they cannot be avdei Hashem. So too, in the life of the individual, chas v'shalom, it could reach that level in which even in a yochid, a prat, in a parallel way, can become so swept away and so overwhelmed in falling into the clutches of passion, of taiva, of yetzer hara, that at that point, he already is so subjugated, he is so compelled and overwhelmed by this dominion of the Yetzer Hara, that for all intents and purposes, he's a min, he's a porek ol, he has chas v'shalom lost his status as an Ovid Hashem. This is Maimar Nun Gimel. I had hoped to get to Maimar Nun Dal today, but I think that we've run out of time. B'li Nether, I hope that we get to Maimar Nun Daled, maybe even before Pesach, maybe during Pesach. We also want to get back to the Pachin Yitzchak on Shabbos. Hashem should give us the ability to do so. Amen. Thank you so much.